Title this morning is The God of the Impossible. The God of the Impossible. The God of the Impossible. It's January 5th, 2014. And what I want to share with you is a word from God, but it's also prophetic for 2014. And I want you to get it this morning and just really dial into what God's going to say. Because really, you need to get ready for God to do the impossible in your life in 2014. You really have to get ready for God to do the impossible. You can't just do the same things you were doing and hanging out and I'm going to just sit here and wait on God. You got to get ready. You got to prepare yourself. It's like you're in a race. And in order to prepare for a race, you usually train. The training ground is the Word of God. The training ground is coming to church every Sunday and for whatever events there are and participating. Getting together and fellowshipping with one another is another way of preparing for 2014. Amen? Now, I was thinking about what to teach and preach and share, and God's been really dealing with me about what the church is dealing with. And it's not the same way. It's not church business as usual. There's more attacks on the church. There's more humanism, more liberal, being more liberal at the pulpit. You see people taking the word lightly instead of really seriously. But you can build a big church when you sugarcoat the word. And I'm not going to do that in 2014. I haven't changed it in 11 years. I'm not going to change that now. We're all big boys and big girls and we're out of our Pampers finally, praise God. And you can have a little bit of milk, but you need some word too. Amen? You need some meat of the word. And I'm convinced that as we spend time in the word, really what needs to change is us. Because God's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He always going to be the same. Amen? So this morning, I just want to share with you a little bit how we figure out how we can tap into the impossibilities of God. Because with God, everything is possible. When you walk without God, it's impossible. The impossibilities just seem to get bigger and the mountains get larger and you're like, oh, I can't get through that. So this morning, I want to share with you about the God of the impossible. Because in 2014, what you thought might have been impossible is not, it is possible with God. It's impossible for you. It's impossible for me. But with God, when I'm connected to, when my eyes are focused on the child, Jesus, when I'm going to step out in faith with him and not on my own. When you go on a missions trip, you don't go out by yourself. You usually go with a group of folks. You're not alone. Why? Because you got some people to support you. So this morning, open up your Bible to Luke 18:18. Luke 18:18. This is the New Living Translation. I like it because it breaks it down in our English language, not with this thus, thyest, those, and those, and this is. Amen. Luke 18:18 says this. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question. He said, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Good question. What do I got to do to have eternal life? I don't want to die and then tap out and that's it. That's the end where I go. He says, how do I inherit eternal life? And I like Jesus' response. Why do you call me good? Because he is. God is good. And Jesus asked him, only God is truly good. So somehow, some way, this man knew that he was good. He must have seen beyond the body of God and seen the Spirit of God somehow. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You should honor your father and your mother. And the man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Now, I know in my life I couldn't say I did all those things. Because there were some times I didn't honor my mother and father. There were some times I took some extra liberties. I didn't murder, but I committed adultery a million times in my mind. But he said, I've kept all these commandments. So I'm thinking, man, this guy's pretty good. Man, he kept it all good. And he's like a leader, and he's... He must be well known in the community. Maybe he's like a Bill Gates, or maybe he's a Rockefeller, or a Gary Budzinski. I don't know. I mean, my brother seems like he knows everybody where he goes, you know. But I know my brother didn't keep all the commandments because he was still working on it back then. Amen. I lived with him. Amen. Praise God. But he said, I obeyed all these commandments since I was young. So he was instructed by probably his mother and father, and he was raised in a home where Jesus was, where some boundaries were established. When Jesus heard this answer, he said, there is still one thing you haven't done. God, I got 9 out of 10. I got 90%. I'm missing one. Jesus said, you're missing one. He says, sell all, not a few. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. So this is a rich young ruler who probably got rich because he served God and did God's way. Think about that for a second. But then the man, and then what does it say? It says sell and give it all. It says, then come, I like this, then Jesus says, then come follow me. In other words, you could be a disciple of Christ. He could have 13 instead of just 12. Come follow me. Just give it all away. Come on, man. You've already done all the commandments, so you already know what I'm about, who I am, what I'm like. Think about that. But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. In other words, he says, I can't sell everything I got. Are you crazy? I'm the owner of Apple. I can sell it all to follow you. Then Jesus saw this and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this said, then who in the world can be saved? And I love this reply from Jesus. This is so cool. What is impossible for man or people is possible with God. What is in your life is impossible for you. But it ain't impossible with God. Let me say that again. What is before you looks very impossible, and it is. Until you mix the ingredient called God. His name is Jesus. You have a Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. You have God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You have what it takes to do the impossible. Note a few things here this morning. The rich young ruler, he seemed to be very sincere. Because he went to God not like other religious people trying to catch God, trying to catch Jesus in some kind of, you know, I'm going to give him this question and, you know, see if I can manipulate him or you know. He came sincere. In the book of Mark, it even says that he ran up to Jesus and knelt before him. That means there was respect for the Savior, and there was a condition in his heart that he knew that he was the Messiah. He was the one. He didn't run to all these other religious people. He went to that one because He knew that Jesus had the answer. Let me tell you, Jesus has your answer for what has been impossible for you. Not like other people of power, of influence. He didn't try to trap Jesus by questioning him or giving a scheme or like the Pharisees or the Sadducees would do to try to bind you up and hold you back from the things of God. I really, truly believe that he wanted to know how he can inherit eternal life. I really believe he had everything. He had all the riches of the world. He had everything, but he was missing one thing. That kind of reminds me of my life. I thought I had a lot of things when I was young. I had it all. I was even an altar boy in a Catholic church for 5 years. Amen. I had it all. But I still didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I followed most of the principles. I walked the old lady across the street, you know, and I did the right things, and I'd visit my grandparents, and I'd honor them, and I did a lot of the right things, not as good as this guy did, but I still came up short. When Jesus answered his question, which, by the way, was not the answer he was looking for, he was looking for approval more than anything else. He could not bear to hear this answer that you had to sell everything. You mean I had to give it all up? Well, Jesus gave it all up for you. He's not telling you right now to sell everything you have, but he asked this one because he knew this is what he had to do to get this man's attention. Let me say this. How we react to the answer in 2014 will either gain us access to the impossible or shut down God from doing miracles in your life. Let me say that again. How you react to the answer that God gives you in 2014 will either give you access to the impossible or you will shut down God to do miracles in your life. The word "I can't" will shut down God in your life. Think about this. He replied that I can't sell all my possessions. I can't give all the riches that I have. I can't do that. And then follow you? Come on. "I can't" are the two most destructive words that we will face as Christians and as the church. I can't. It is an expression, when you say "I can't," it is an expression of a heart and mind that does not possess a faith that trusts completely in the power of God. Let me say that again. When you say "I can't," I can't do this, I can't get on a health kick, I can't eat right, I can't do this. What you're saying, it's an expression of your heart and mind that does not possess faith enough that trusts completely in the power of God. In other words, what you're saying is I can't do it, and God's limited. That's what it's saying when you say "I can't." I can't surrender my life to God because what are all my friends going to say about me? I can't give up my friends for Christ even though they're bad influences in my life. They're my friends. And they're all going to hell too if they don't know Jesus. I can't put the Lord first in everything I do because it interferes with my business practices. I mean, we like to cheat a little bit and little lies, and it's just a little lie, and you know that customer won't know. He'll know. I can't go into all the world because I'm afraid someone will not like me or will ask me do I have a relationship with Jesus? And they will pick on me. And then the church, you know, we're real good at that too. We can't go and help those orphans over there because we don't want to give any of our money out of our own pocket to go help them. Or of our time or our talents. I can't reach our community. I can't do this and I can't do that. It's not I can't, it's just you won't. Because once you step out in the world, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, God will always meet your need. I said, God will always, 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 always meet your need. Even when you're messed up, God will meet your need. See, the rich young ruler said, I can't. And he was absolutely right. He can't get to heaven without God. He had everything, but he didn't have a relationship with Jesus. When you leave God out of the equation, you can't. How about Moses? Moses did the same thing when God approached him for service. He gave every excuse in the world and says, I don't know what to say. I'm not good with words. Remember, Moses was a stutterer. He didn't communicate well with everybody. And God wants to use him as a mouthpiece. Now, isn't that funny how God works? And Moses kept on saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. And he was right also. He can't do anything without God. And you know people that are successful and they're doing everything, but they don't have God. They're never happy. They're never satisfied. They got the world, but they ain't got God. They got all the money, and they drive in the nice cars and the Mercedes-Benz they pull up in, they pick you up in, and they front it in your face, or they pull up in their nice, you know, big house they have, and they throw that in their face, but it's empty when you walk in. You ever been house hunting and you walk into an empty house and when you yell, you can hear everything in the house, echoes. It's empty. Well, that's just like their life. They have a big dwelling place, but it's empty inside. When you don't have God, you can't do it. You're absolutely right. Moses couldn't do it. This young rich ruler couldn't do it. I love it. Jesus said this. He says, after the response of the rich young ruler, Jesus made a comment that it was easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And it shocked all the disciples. And the disciples went, he's got everything and he's done everything but this one thing. Oh my God, who could be saved? You ever been there? I remember before I got saved, I'm like, God can't forgive me of all of what I'd done. I mean, I did some stuff, man. How are you going to forgive me? All that I've done. I love how Jesus looks at verse 27. He says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. There are impossible for you, but when you get me in the mix, when you call upon my name, when you get me involved in your life, when you allow me to be the head of your life, when you allow to pick me and follow me, oh, it opens up some impossibilities to be possible. What did he just say? He says, God says, I can do the impossible. Yes, it's exactly what he said. Where we can't, God can. God can do all things. With our own abilities, we are unable, but with God, we are able to do anything. And that shouldn't be a surprise to you or to me, because think about God. He created life on this desolate planet we live in. Think about that. He created something out of nothing. He was with Moses, and when Moses parted the Red Sea and produced dry land, who was involved in that? God showed up. He couldn't do it on his own. He could try to blow the water, but there weren't going to be no waves. They're going to part that whole sea. He needed to get God. It was impossible, but possible with God. Impossible with Moses, but with God in Moses, it was possible. He raised an army from a valley of dry bones. He destroyed Satan's greatest weapon, death, which was the resurrection of Jesus.
If he can do these things, imagine what he can do in your life. Think about what's been impossible for you that you have left God out of and wants to get involved in everything. See, God wants to be involved in everything in your life because he knows there's some places that you're saying, this is really impossible, but if you get God in it, it will become possible.
Uh-oh.
Jesus said, with faith the size of a mustard seed, and I had mustard seeds one time I brought in, they're so small and so tiny, a mustard seed, that you can move mountains. That's what the book of Matthew says. You have mountain-moving faith inside. All you have to have is faith of a mustard seed. My wife always helps me with that. Sometimes my faith level isn't always all the way there, and she'll say, don't you have faith as a mustard seed? That's pretty small. She's got acorn faith, man. You ever see an acorn compared to a little seed, man? It's gigantic. She's just got to help me sometimes. She whispers that in my ear in the middle of the night, 2 in the morning. God can do it. What did Paul say? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. All things, anything, everything, through the power of God. I like that. Our doing and working in his kingdom is not about personal ability. It's about personal faith. I should have never been a pastor. I didn't like speaking in front of people. I was terrified. I hated in school after giving speeches because I was nervous. I would shake and my hands would sweat and I didn't like people. Serious. But the thing you hated most, God will make good in you if you allow him to. It's about your personal faith. It's not about your talent. It's not about my talent. But it's about my desire to serve God. There are multiple better pastors that are talented. But I don't know if they have the same desire and passion. There are many that are more profound in their speaking ability. And, I use some eubonics sometimes along the way, because I got that broken English because I'm from the Midwest. See, I could use that as my excuse. Amen. I know I talk's funny. And you always look at me, what time it is. Hey, it's all good. You can't get that out of me because that's been in me for so long. But I can use that to get and relate to you, though. I'm not perfect. My wife isn't perfect. She's pretty close, though. But I'm a work in progress. Amen? I emulate to try to be like her. Praise God. Hallelujah. With God, all things are possible. What you got to do is you got to change the I can't to the I will. In 2014, in order to see the impossible, you got to get your I can't big butt out of the way and say, I will do it. I can do it with God's help. I can go and learn to eat differently. I can go learn to make my body healthy. I can get to the gym. I can get up in the morning early and I've never done it before. I can. I will. You got to get rid of the word I can't because it'll mess you up. Even the impossible, the unfathomable, the craziness of this world that looks impossible for you can become a reality with God. But you got to get him in the mix. You got to get rid of I. Because it ain't about me. We started this church, it was never about me. I didn't want to preach, I didn't want to talk to people, I don't like people. I'll just be the guy behind the scenes that helps the pastor out. But that's not what God wanted. I wanted that. It was easy for me. I'd just come in and help out. I'd mop floors and scrub toilets and help out and usher and greet. And my wife can sing in the choir sometimes. And she didn't care if they let her sing or she sang in the whole group. She was never like that. And people get jealous in those big churches, and when, well, your wife, why did she get picked to sing with the three people and and she wasn't part of the whole choir today. Why is that? Because she'll just be used wherever she wanted to be used. She didn't want to be humble. Because it wasn't about her. It was about him using her to glorify him. I still get people say, well, who made you pastor? God. Amen. You were just an usher when I was with you. Yeah. What are you doing? You're still an usher because that's where God's probably called you to be. He's trying to help. You have to get out of your way and allow God to lead you the way. His way is better than your way. Your way is good, but God's way is a lot better. Amen? In 2014, the impossible will become the possible. The equation to go from impossible to possible is having faith plus Jesus gives you unlimited possibilities. I got these cards that I printed out this week because I had a couple days off of work. I got creative. Praise God. And I want you to have these cards to start off the new year because I want you to keep it with you in your car, or put it on your dashboard or whatever you need to do. And it says, in 2014, I will work on removing I can't from my vocabulary. Sometimes you need an illustration. Amen? Every time you say, well, I can't do that, you just look at that and say, God, I can't stick to that diet plan when you're right about to go buy that ice cream cone. And you go in your car and you see that and you go, throw it away. I'm not going to put one in my car until tomorrow. Amen. So, in the back side, it says this. In 2014, all things are possible with God. The impossible is now possible. And there's a photo of impossible with a terror getting the impossible off it. So I'm gonna have Del pass it out for you real quick so that you have that. Because sometimes you need a visual object in front of you in order to remember or recall. Remember, you know what I mean? Sometimes I know I want to get my body back in shape other than round. And I'll have to go and pull up a picture of some guy that's built like a, you know, just ripped and looks good. And to get me to think about that guy had to stay focused in order to keep that body looking that good. And our bodies are just a temple of God. Amen? And I know that we struggle with food, because I know I have. I struggled with a lot of things. And I just want you to have something that says that you're going to get rid of that word I can't from your vocabulary. You don't need that word I can't in your life. Because it will limit you from what God can do. It really should be I will do it. I'll do it God's way. Lord, I hear you. I'm going to do it your way. Oh, Lord, you want me to give $100 to that ministry over there across the street that's starting up? You don't ignore him. Say, I will. Because there might be something connected to that $100 that's coming back your way when you do. Well, I can't, Lord. I mean, that means I'm going to have to give up Starbucks. I spent $50 at Starbucks yesterday. And that's after getting my first free drink in the morning. I don't know how I went through. The whole gold card was spent. And I went, how did that happen? Just don't buy lunch at Starbucks, amen? You might as well eat at, you know, some buffet or something. God can do the impossible for you in 2014. Let me say this way. God wants, he enjoys doing the impossible in your life. God wants to do the crazy things that people say no. He wants to wreck the doctor's reports that say you can't be healed. God wants to to do that so that he gets glory. But you have to do your part. You have to say, I will be here on time. I'll be here a little early. Pastor, is there something we can do here at the church? Pastor, there's some needs across the street. Can we go do that? I will. I'll go be a blessing to somebody. I'll go back to college, and I'll figure how God's going to get me the finances. I will. I'll go get a second job because, Lord God, you're setting me up for something bigger so that I can get rid of that first job. I will. Don't allow another year to pass you by. This is your year, your season, your time. This is the day the Lord has made for you. All you need to do is rejoice in it. All you got to do is grab a hold of it for 2014 and get on behind Jesus and go do what he told you to do. This is your year to lose your weight. This is your year that you'll have a new house. This is your year that you'll have a nice car. This is the year your sickness and disease gets out of your body. This is your year where health comes upon you. This is your year where finances are brighter. This is your year with God. Don't be like the rich young ruler who said, I can't. Oh, I'm tired. So am I. But at least I'm not sick and tired anymore. Shout with me this morning, Jesus, I'm removing. I can't from my vocabulary. All things, anything, everything with God's power is in me. My faith will move me beyond my impossibilities. 2014 is my year to shine. It's my year to increase. All I hope for, all I prayed for, has been mixed with my faith. Impossibilities are now possible in 2014. I will not waver. I will not be moved. I will stick to the word. I will release the possibilities in my life. I can't is now I will. My stinking thinking is in the past. I will confess the end result. I am blessed. I am increasing. My hope is arising. The impossible is possible with Christ Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord some hand clap praise. Do you get it? Can you do it? We get excited about football. We get excited about sporting events. We get excited that it snows in Michigan and it's all two degrees outside and we got sunshine. Hallelujah. I got sunshine even on a rainy day. Because I got the sun that shines inside of me. 2014 is the year that God will do the impossible. I can't believe that. Yeah, I can't believe either. But God, when with God you can do the impossible. Start believing for the impossible. Start putting your faith out there. Mix your faith with Jesus. Faith plus Jesus equals impossibilities. I didn't say your money plus Jesus equals impossibilities because you can't buy God. But if you put your faith with God and you trust him and it's with God, you're doing everything. With God, all things are possible. With God, the impossible becomes possible. The cancer has to go. The sickness and disease has to leave. The financial picture becomes brighter when Jesus is involved. Amen. You get the God deal, not the good deal. Amen. I'm not interested in good deals in 2014. I want the God deal. I don't want the Monty Hall good deal. I want it's not behind door number one, two, or three, but I want everything behind all three doors. Amen. Why? Because God said I can. Well, you're saying, well, Pastor, you know, you're preaching prosperity. Well, better than being broke. Amen. Broke people can't help me. They can't. Because I got to go and fuel the kingdom of God. Amen. I need a couple rich young rulers. I need a couple dentists and doctors and lawyers and people that don't know Jesus. But when you get a hold of them, boy, they can just wreck, man, some stuff of the devil's plans. They can go fund 10 missionaries. Amen? Why? Because they have the finances. They might not have the know-how how they got there. But we can help them. There ain't nothing wrong with you having something. A nice car. New clothes. There ain't nothing wrong with that. It's all right if you want to drive a Mercedes. I don't like Mercedes. I like trucks. I like trucks. I mean, I do. You know, if they had a Mercedes truck, probably wouldn't drive it anywhere because I'd be afraid it would get damaged. Got a friend that spent $68,000 on a truck, and I'm like, well, why are you going to drive that? It's too nice to drive. But $68,000, it's just peanuts, right? For God. It's only a $900 a month car payment. But where's your God? See, I really think, I'm so, and my wife will tell you, nothing is impossible for God. When you're a good steward for God, He takes care of all your needs. When you do more than you're expected to do, God always gives you more than you expected. I mean, my job is the perfect example. I mean, I work 10 and 12 hour days every day. I only get paid for 8. But then when you get an email from the president that says, I want to bless you, the wife jumps up and says, hallelujah! Go to work. I'll build a bed and a cot for you in the back room. Praise God. He'll give you double for your trouble. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. Yeah. See, you're laughing. But you ask my wife, I give her that time and I give her my talent. Why? Because I know that God's going to bless me. Serious. Are you home? What are you doing home for? You only need 4 hours of sleep. Get out of there. Get out of here. You laugh, but it's true. I mean, what you do in private, God will give you some publicity for it. That's how God works. When you go out and you give more than you're supposed to, God will bless you. He does. It's crazy how He does it. How did you get favor in your job? Because of God. How did you get so smart? I'm not the smartest guy. I've never done this before. How did you become number one? Because God. I partnered with a broker named Jesus who buys things on wholesale and I can sell it for retail. Come on. I have a Jewish God who wants to make sure that His kids are well taken care of. You're His kids. You're part of His family. You got to start acting like you're a child of the Most High God. You got to understand you're a sister and a brother to Jesus. You're part of the family. That means you're tied in. Your DNA has the same blood that was in Jesus as in you. And greater things the Bible says you'll do with God. You'll never do it without God. I mean, you'll have a short-lived, you'll do good, and then the devil steals it all from you. I've done that. I had millions, and God, allowed, the devil got in there because I, wasn't serving God, and he took it all. But then I realized when I do it God's way, oh, man, my car's not breaking down, and the washer and dryer's still working after 5 or 6 years, and because that's how God does it. I cheated God out of $100 one time. I remember, I felt bad about it. And then, of course, my washer broke, and this broke, and it cost me more than $100. Right. So I just learned it's like insurance.
I got the connection with God Almighty. He's going to look out for you. He's going to allow those impossibilities to. He'll quick open a door to now be possible. Where you didn't have favor before, you're going to have favor now. Where you didn't have finances flowing now are starting to flow your way. What was draining your checkbook is going to get severed off, and or just like, you know, like they do, it's going to cauterize. God's going to cauterize the bleeding, and you're going to have some finances that are going to stick and stay in 2014. Yeah, your kids are going to pick the right people to hang with, or the right people to go out with. And know that Daddy Smith and Wesson will take care of the rest if they out in line. Amen. But no, God's there in the midst of it all. He's there to protect your wife while she's driving to work. Angels wrapped around him in 2014. The car that should have hit him didn't hit him. Come on. It's in the little stuff when you get a free Starbucks because somebody blesses you for it. It's in that little stuff. No, because that's where God is. He's in the little and he's in the large. I pray for the large stuff, but I also pray for the small stuff because I know that God's in the middle. I want my kids blessed. I want them to hang around with the right people. If you don't have a spouse, you'll find the right spouse. You don't want to find one that's going to nag you, or he'll be a jerk and, you know, beat you up or something. Come on. That's what God has for you. God has got some things for you that are awesome. But you got to just trust them. You're going to go through some places where you can't see, but you can trust them. You kind of know the surrounding, but it feels like God. It smells like God. There's a fragrance of God here. 2014 is your year of the impossible becoming possible. I want to encourage you. I implore you. I plead with you. Let this year be the best year ever. Allow it to top off anything that you've ever had before. Allow it. Just get it in your mindset. Take that card, and every time you start saying, I can't, or you start falling in your old way, pull that and say, no, I will. Because when you do, God honors that. In this small little stuff, God honors that. And then he'll allow you to have the much. Amen? I didn't know I could run a budget for a church when I couldn't balance a checkbook 25 years ago. But God, amen, God promotes. And then when he gets you in the area where they were about to crown you, say, no, that's for my king. That's for my Jesus. How'd you get where you're at? I just can't wait for what God's going to do in 2014. Amen. 2013 was good, but God's going to do some greatness in 2014. Heavenly Father, bless your people. I ask you, Lord God, to guide them, direct them. Lord God, increase them. Lord God, this day, Lord, we're going to mark it down. This is your day. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice in it. And Father God, going forward, Lord, we're going to remove the I can't spirit. I can't spirit go now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, let a new spirit be upon your people. Let the I can, I will, I'll do it your way, God. I'm going to follow your way, Lord God. The impossibilities, Lord God, are now going to become possible. Lord God, you're possible in every situation, Lord God. You're possible in our finances, Lord God. You're possible in our health, Lord God. You're possible, you're possible, you're possible, you're possible, Lord God, in all things that we do. I ask you, Lord God, to bless your people as they go out and do your work, your will, your way, your plans, Lord God. Allow, Lord God, the Spirit of God to lead them, guide them, and direct them. This is their year, Lord God. This is their day. This is their week. This is their month, Lord God. Allow them to go out and get it done for their elder brother, Jesus. Allow them to do it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.